CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Sandra Olvend-Solsted, Senior Data Analyst, correspondent at The Economist magazine, to help us understand the pandemic so far and who has suffered and how. The question comes to deaths, how the deaths are recorded from state to state, from region to region. There's a mixed picture. So I begin with The Economist's write-up commenting that this is a rough estimate. Sandra, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. A rough estimate. Given the attention to detail in your employer's magazine, why rough and how? What is the methodology for excess deaths both regionally and worldwide? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. It's a pleasure to be here. So the reason why the estimate is rough is that we are trying to provide an estimate for excess deaths for every single country and territory in the world for every day since the pandemic began. And that is an extremely complex task that cannot be done with great precision. Nevertheless, I think it is an important one because we know that official tallies can be very misleading as they tend to correspond somewhat closely to the true number of deaths in very rich countries, but not at all in poorer countries where they can ill afford testing and recording deaths accurately. Now, with regards to what we're trying to do is that we are measuring excess deaths, which is the number of people who have died since the pandemic began compared to how many would have died in normal years. And so that means both deaths directly due from COVID-19, the disease, but also deaths from indirect causes, such as overburdened hospitals or people not seeking treatment.
If I read this correctly, there's another part of this that's wonderful. You have a robot friend. You built this.
I do.
You built this with machine learning, sometimes known as AI. So since I can't write immediately interview the AI, I don't speak digital. Explain how that works, Sandra.
Yes, for sure. So the way you typically attack a problem like this is that you have some variables, such as, for instance, say, the reported number of deaths, and you have what you're truly interested in, which is excess deaths. So in our case, we had excess deaths data for some period of time from 84 countries, some of which only reported it for certain regions. Now, our problem is that we have a lot more countries than that, and also we wanted to do this for the entire period, so from the pandemic began up till today, and we want to continue to update it every day going forward. So what we needed to do was to extract patterns from excess deaths where we know them and these other indicators which we know throughout the period and can update regularly. And here is where my machine friend comes in. So we constructed a data set of over 100 indicators, and this captures things like the official number of COVID deaths, number of tests, how many of the tests came back positive, but also other things that turned out for my robot friend to be particularly helpful. Things like media freedom, and things like how much people moved around, and that we got from cell phone data. Now, we didn't go into this with any assumptions, and we didn't give the AI or the machine learning algorithm any assumptions. We essentially just said, here is some data that we think might be helpful in figuring out patterns between excess deaths and our data. And then we use this to construct models that when we don't know excess deaths can use these other things that we do know to predict excess deaths. And that's what we're doing every day for every country and territory.
Looking inside the maps that you provide, and I recommend this to everyone because you see in a glance what we know and what we don't know so far in the pandemic. You're keen on excess deaths per people 65 and above. That's the vulnerable population per 100,000 people. You're also keen on cumulative infection rate. How do those things go together? Does that point to where you should look harder?
Yes, so in a way they do. So we have both the overall number of deaths per population, which is sort of the thing that is the overall death tally, say. But we have these other things because they tell us more the story of where COVID has spread and how widely is that spread within populations. Now, the reason for that is that excess deaths aren't related to the number of infections in a very direct way because, unfortunately, or in any event, I should say, COVID-19 targets old people way more than younger people. And so if you have a country with a very old population, you might have many deaths, even if you have relatively few infections. And on the flip side, if you have a lot of deaths in a very young population, typically the case for many African countries, then you probably have a lot of infections there. So what this is doing is providing a rough estimate of how many people are infected or how many people as a share of the old population have died.
It is striking to look nation to nation and see where we've been and where we're going. For example, I would have guessed that Brazil and the United States were doing very poorly given the reporting. However, what I learned from your chart is that excess deaths are most dire in states that are not obvious because they don't have the same protocols that we do in the U.S. Russia, for example, Bulgaria, Peru. Now, I knew about Peru. That has damaged the economy. People fled Lima. But I didn't know about Russia. And you also point to the fact that the subcontinent is still experiencing extreme excess death. So this is an ongoing process, right? This is not, in any event, a moment that we could say who's doing well and who's not doing well. We're just looking at the big picture.
Yes. So this page will update every single day. And we do that, every morning, Europe time. And so you can see the pandemic as it progresses in real time. And you can also see how the total death count for the pandemic will update, as time goes on, be it for a particular country, such as the United States, where we estimate that excess deaths are about 30%, higher than official death tallies, or countries in Asia where as a continent, we think only about 1 in 8 deaths are counted in official statistics.
And that leads to some, and we haven't burdened this conversation with numbers, but here they come. The official number of deaths caused by COVID-19 right now in the middle of the second year is 4.5 million. What is your expectation and what is the 95% chance expectation?
The single best estimate we have for the number of dead due to the pandemic so far is 15.2 million people. The range that we think is plausible or most likely is 9.3 million to 8.1 million.
And so that is a much, much more dramatic number than we're given now. And the accounting that we're looking at right now looks to have some questions that can't be answered. For example, sub-Saharan Africa can't be answered easily. Australia is an outlier. I note that. Why so? Why is Australia neither bad nor obvious?
Yes. So when you do excess deaths instead of COVID deaths, you actually end up with some countries having deficit deaths. That is fewer deaths than you would expect in a normal year. And that is largely because they have avoided, deaths from other causes, such as the flu, which was the case in Australia and New Zealand, and things like pollution, which has been reduced somewhat, especially early on in the pandemic, and kills a lot of people in poor and middle-income countries. For that reason, Australia for a time actually had a deficit deaths, so they had lower deaths than expected. Though now it's pretty much around zero. Currently, you only have a few countries which have deficit deaths. New Zealand is one. Iceland is another. And so these are the places where you would expect that the eradication of the flu would more than make up for deaths from other causes, or the near eradication of flu, I should say.
It's a moving story. As Sandra says, they update it every day at The Economist magazine. Sandra Olvend Solsted is the senior data analyst and correspondent at The Economist magazine. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.